Thank you, Dr. Wilson. And thank you all for coming today. It's a pleasure to speak with you here, and I've had good meetings and hope you have too. I'd like to talk with you a little bit today about managing residual nitrogen and grain sorghum for the production of that, and certainly it's a great opportunity for me to be part of a team. As we've already heard, my co-authors here, my supervisor, Dr. Mark McFarland, Jörg Blumenthal, Dennis Peach, and Dr. Tony Proven. Well, it may sound like I'm sort of repeating some of the things you've heard earlier in the session about nitrogen. Certainly there are a lot of concerns, and just to kind of get into it a little bit, why are we looking at nitrogen and doing this work? Well, nitrogen is one of those nutrients that's certainly needed in the greatest amounts, that is, you know, as compared to other nutrients. It's important for chlorophyll structure, for the photosynthetic mechanisms. Nitrogen needed for the manufacture of amino acids, which are the building block of protein and seeds. Now, as a number of others have alluded to, nitrogen is more recently is one of those that represents a dramatic increase in prices for not just for grain sorghum production, but also for a number of other crops throughout the country, certainly throughout the United States and other countries. Soil losses are also a concern, that from erosion, surface erosion, and leaching of nitrogen through the profile, we can wind up with contamination and of surface and groundwater resources. So all these things together sort of add up to keep an ongoing challenge for us to find out ways to better manage nitrogen inputs. Well, some of the things that add to the challenge certainly are factors that affect the response of grain sorghum to nitrogen, and just highlight a few of those here. Rainfall is probably one of the biggest ones. Other things like day-night temperature, the variety that's planted or the hybrid that's planted, the stage of crop growth, root structure, be it fibrous or taprooted crop, soil texture, soil pH, and organic matter, the tillage that's used, and which something that it factors into the ratio of carbon to nitrogen, and then of course something that maybe is a little less known about, and that's the balance of nutrients, a balance of nitrogen to phosphorus and to potassium. Well, some earlier studies on cotton looking at residual soil nitrate values in the past, and reported by Hans and others in 2004, showed that on a big scale across the state, they found that levels, nitrate nitrogen levels, range from 84 to 448 kilograms per hectare across the state. And what they noted was that in only 23% of those sites did they see a response to nitrogen. Grain sorghum and corn are in Texas are two crops that are rotated on most of these acres with cotton. In the case of grain sorghum, 1.3 million hectares per year, and corn, 1 million hectares. As we mentioned earlier, grain sorghum and corn, of course, both are fibrous rooted, whereas cotton is tap rooted, so we might expect that cotton would be a little bit, do a little bit better at taking up residual nitrate nitrogen. Other, Bean and McFarland have recently pointed out that in studies conducted, especially in the western part of the state, and then other studies that also have been done in the Midwest, have shown that corn and grain sorghum can benefit from residual nitrate nitrogen to 60 centimeters. However, in our part of the state, the information about this is limited. So we have this question of how do we properly credit residual nitrogen in the profile without losing yield. Others have pointed out that the effect of profile nitrate nitrogen may vary between regions. So that's another one of those things that we're dealing with as we look into this. So our objective is to assess the contribution of residual soil nitrate and nitrogen at 15, 30, and 60 centimeter depths as related to the yield of grain sorghum. The way we went about this is establishing studies on grower cooperator farms. And we the way it turned out is we had five sites in 2008 and five sites in 2009 in two growing regions, that being the Upper Coastal Bend of Texas and also the Central Texas Blackland. Starting in November through about late January, we collected pre-plant soil samples. Went about this by compositing four cores twice, each from about a 2/10 hectare area. We established the nitrogen treatments by analysis of residual nitrate in the core samples using a 1 molar potassium chloride extract via cadmium reduction. Now, just to outline overall the five treatments and our treatment structure that we've had in all the studies is treatment one being a control or a check with no additional nitrogen added. A second treatment where we applied nitrogen based on residual nitrate nitrogen to 60 centimeters, which is our greatest depth, and nitrogen based on residual soil nitrate nitrogen to 30, also to 15 centimeters, which that, by the way, is the 15 centimeters is the current university approach. And then a fifth treatment where we applied nitrogen based on the crop yield goal. And across all the sites, this yield goal would average about 5,600 kilograms per hectare. Phosphate fertilizer was applied according to soil test recommendations to all plots. Just to illustrate a little bit of how we went about this, we used liquid nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizers, and these were put down subsurface injected with this knife type applicator, and having the twin tanks and twin pumps, afforded us to apply the nitrogen and phosphate sources separately. In each of the studies, varieties were planted that were adapted to local growing conditions. Studies were randomized complete block designs, replicated 4 to 5 times. Plots were four to six rows or 6 rows wide, with intra-row spacing of 97 or 76 centimeters and a length of 26 to 78 meters. Significance was determined by analysis of variance and mean separated using Fisher's least significant difference test. In terms of measurements, and I won't, sake of time, I won't talk about all of them today, but we looked at, during the season, looked at plant density, uppermost unfolded leaf chlorophyll, that's at flowering, and then at harvest time, grain moisture, yield, and test weight. I'd like to talk just briefly, kind of overview of what happened with rainfall, and then talk about what we found out in terms of yield in both of the seasons, 2008 and 2009. Overall, in both of the seasons, I think the short answer is dry conditions, and these images illustrate that throughout the season. And this is typical of what we saw in both of the seasons in various locations. Water stressed vegetation, soil cracking, and across the turn row, water stressed corn at the early grain field. I think the take home message here is that April, May, and June, we were 5 to 18 centimeters across all the locations in both seasons, 5 to 18 centimeters per month below the 30-year average rainfall. So that has quite an effect when this is happening during the peak growing season. Just like to point out that across both seasons and locations, typically what we would see is that in the control plots with no nitrogen added, we would see considerably less green canopy. When we compared that to plots that had nitrogen applied, where residual nitrate nitrogen was credited to 15 centimeters, or where it was credited to 60 centimeters. Not much difference between the two depths, but certainly a contrast with where we did not apply any nitrogen. Now let's talk a little bit about residual soil nitrate levels, and I'll for now 2008. We've got sites on the left-hand side. Burleson point out that is an irrigated site, whereas Calhoun, Collin, Hill, and Williamson are all rain-fed sites. So as we move across to the right, we've got residual soil nitrate at the beginning of the season down to 15 centimeters, then 15 to 30 centimeters, 30 to 60 centimeters. And like to point out here, this cumulative 0 to 60 centimeters, we had residual nitrate nitrogen in 2008 that ranged from about 25 upwards of 50 kilograms per hectare. Based on the current fertilizer survey price at that time in our area, the value of this would be about $5 to just under $12 per hectare. We look at the effect of credited nitrogen fertilizer rate on these grain yields. Unfortunately, we didn't have a treatment here, but for lack of residual nitrogen, but we didn't see any difference in yield response to residual nitrogen based on 30 centimeters or 60 centimeters. However, for all the rain-fed sites in this year, compared to the 15 centimeter residual treatment, we did not lose yield when nitrogen was credited down to 60 centimeters. Residual nitrate nitrogen for 2009 in Burleson County, overall you can see the Burleson site, which is irrigated, and then these others, Fannin, Hill, Victoria, and Williamson, which are rain-fed sites, we had considerably more nitrate nitrogen available across the board than we did the previous season. The 0 to 60 centimeter range from anywhere from about 50 to just under 120 kilograms per hectare, with a value of about 12 to just under $27 per hectare. What effect did this have on accredited nitrogen fertilizer on grain yield? Well, we noticed quite a dramatic change here when comparing to the 15 centimeter depth for the irrigated Burleson site. We lost yield when it was credited to 30 centimeters or 60 centimeters. However, for the other sites, we did not significantly lose yield when nitrate nitrogen was credited down to 60 centimeters. So overall, reducing nitrogen fertilizer applications based on residual soil nitrate nitrogen to 60 centimeters did not affect yield in 8 out of 10 seasons, site years. In 1 of 10 site years, nitrogen fertilizer applications based on residual soil nitrate nitrogen to 30 centimeters reduced yield. And as we pointed out, that was the irrigated site at Burleson. Reductions in nitrogen fertilizer rates via deeper profile sampling could improve production economics. In light of the future, I think we need to repeat these studies to continue to get a better handle on seasonal differences in rainfall and residual nitrate nitrogen. I'd like to just acknowledge all these folks, and I can take any questions if there's time. Thank you.
Time for one question. Excuse me, one question.
What were the end rates? I know there are range to them for the 60 centimeter based on the current 15. What was the difference between?
Well, those rates may have actually varied between locations, because what we were doing is basing it on the amounts that had been recommended by the laboratory, and then crediting that amount. So there could have been, the actual amount that was applied wasn't necessarily the same for one location as it was the other.